This episode of Open Mind is brought to you in association with very.co.uk. We should all take time out to pamper ourselves. After all, if you feel good, you look good. So why not check out Very's Beauty Treats? Start a new cleansing resolution, revitalise your hair, or hydrate and detox. It's time to live well, sleep well, eat well, and spend well at very.co.uk. So welcome back to Open Mind, the podcast with me, Frankie Bridge. I'm so excited today to have the lovely Emma Gannon with me.
Thank you for having
me. A writer, podcast host, and Sunday Times best-selling business author of The Multi-Hyphen Method. I mean, as someone who's just finished writing a book, I'm like, how do you have the time to do all of this stuff?
I feel like most of us are multi-hyphenates more than we think. Okay. I mean, you're definitely a classic kind of fingers in pies. I feel like we all make it work, but I don't know. I feel like the job for life, like having that one thing you do forever now, is kind of gone.
Yeah.
We're all a little bit of a mismatch of all sorts of things.
Do you think that comes with, like, I don't know, I feel like back in the day, we had this, like we were saying before we started the podcast, like the woman stays at home and the man goes out and works, and then everyone kind of stuck to their job that they had and that was it. Like, do you feel like maybe that's why people's mental health is a bit all over the place now? Or
maybe. I mean, it's like pros and cons, because I feel like you can be paralysed by choice in this modern world. I'm really glad I'm not dating now, because I think I had like the traditional dating sites. Like, do you remember Guardian Soulmates?
No,
I went on like
the
desktop version of a dating site, but I've never been on an app. But it's like, we're choosing who to date. We're like swiping on Deliveroo. We're like, what film do we watch on Netflix? What do I want to be? What, like, am I a good mum? Am I a good friend? Am I a good wife? And like, that is... I think that's an age-old problem. But then now we're throwing into the mix, I can do multiple things with my job. But it can be amazing. Like, I love that every day is totally different. But I have a positive spin on it, I think, that everything comes with a bit of a, but what about this? So I try to cover that in the book as well.
So that's what the book is all about then?
The book is basically a celebration of not being one thing. And I feel like women especially are put into boxes very early on in their careers. Like you're labelled as something and then you try and break out and people are like, no, you're that thing that the society told you you are. So I just tried to, it's not just for women, but I just tried to kind of push this movement. If you want to be a part of it, you can, but it's definitely kind of not for everyone. But if you do feel like you're being called a jack of all trades in a negative way by like your uncle or like your cousin, the book is basically like, you're not weird. You're allowed to be different. You're allowed to have multiple interests. And if you change your mind a lot and you want to do loads of different things with your life, that's cool.
Yeah, because I think from such a young age, you are like, you know, when you're choosing you do your GCSEs and then you've got to choose your A-levels and then you've got to decide whether you're going to go to work or what you want to do at uni. And I think at the time you feel like you're quite grown up. But when you do get older and you look back, you're like, that is so young to kind of decide what you want to do for the rest of your life.
Yeah, like do you ever think it's weird that we ask kids, like, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
And they're like staring at you like 3 years old, like, a vet.
Yeah, like my kids don't even know what I do. I mean, I don't even know what I do most days. But like, it's like, sometimes we say to them, oh, what does mummy and daddy do? And they just go, work. Like, they don't know what
that is. Yeah, and it's so harsh to like put that on them so young. Like, yeah. I always think homework sounds intense.
Oh, mate, I hate homework.
And it's like, you have the rest of your life to do homework. Like, we literally, as adults, do homework 24/7. So being a kid is not about...
Well, my kids are 4 and 6 and they have homework. And it's something that I really battle with, because I'm like, I don't feel like they should be doing it. But then if you don't do it with them, then they're the ones that are behind. And then that kind of falls on you. So you end up in this like vicious circle of like trying to keep up, but also not really agreeing with it. Also, it's so weird.
That is weird, because it's like you're the authority, but then the school is as well. So that must be a weird one.
Yeah, and I'm still scared of like the teachers and the headmaster.
I would be.
Such a child.
That would really trigger me. I'd be like, I'm in trouble again.
Yeah.
But it is funny, because at university... in the UK, like, we are pretty much told to pick one thing to study. And I know not everyone goes to uni, but you still like train in one thing. It's still kind of pushed upon us. And I think sometimes you leave education and you're in the big wide world And then you realize it's not as simple as that. And actually, you've kind of almost been like pushed to the edge of a cliff. And they're like, bye, go and work it out for yourself now.
Did you go to uni?
I did, yeah.
And what did you do at uni?
I mean, I'm the classic, like, I did English.
Right.
Because it's just...
generic.
So generic. And also, I get in trouble sometimes for saying this, but I don't know if I had my time again in life, I don't think I would have gone.
To uni at all?
No.
Was it like something that your family did? Was it like, oh, this is what we do?
Yeah, and also, I guess it's like quite a privileged thing that that was normal for like people at my school, which I know is not the case for a lot of people. It was just the thing you do. I don't know, maybe I did get more out of it than I think, but I just look at those 3 years and like I got very drunk. I made some awful decisions in like dating life. And I don't remember like much of it.
But then don't you think like that's the quite nice thing about it though? You kind of prolonged your childhood as such. Like my dad, in my family, uni wasn't really that much of a thing, but he really wanted me and my sister to go. Obviously, I ended up taking a completely different path. But his thing was more just like, just enjoy yourself for as long as possible because you're going to have to work for like the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So just go and prolong that process and give yourself longer to decide what you want.
That's actually a really good point. And actually, yeah, I totally think that. Because now as well, I feel like you could, if you wanted to, like launch a YouTube channel or start a business on Instagram or like at a really young age. Like I have a nephew who's he's 12 now and he's kind of, he could, I don't know, like I feel like he could get a job now in like gaming or something.
Really?
So I think it might be getting younger and younger. So actually, yes, prolonging it is a good idea, I think.
Do you think that's down to social media then, that there's more things accessible to younger people and more people?
Yeah, I mean, I feel quite alienated now from like young people.
How old are you?
I'm 30, but I feel like I'm now like I've gone. I know that's not old.
No,
I think we're probably the same age.
And I'm exactly the same. I walked past Urban Outfitters with my mum on Monday and I was like, I've reached that age where I walk past a shop and go, oh, I'm a bit old for there now. And like, there's still stuff in there that I like, but I just felt this feeling that that's not for me.
Oh my God, I had that exact same thing. Oh, I know what it was and I am too old for it. I went into Forever 21.
Oh,
and I was like,
been there.
I was like, it says it in the title.
yeah, I should have known.
I need to get out and not wear this crop top. No, wear what you want. But yeah, it's funny. I think that, I don't know, I had a whole thing where like my career was like being the young one that knew about technology. Like my first book, Control Alt Delete, was about growing up on the internet and like being a young woman. And I wrote it when I was 25. And so I'm now, I guess, coming to terms with the fact that I'm not like the youngest person in the room anymore.
Mm.
And I don't know the latest, coolest things. But there's actually something quite freeing about that as well.
Yeah, I suppose we don't have to keep up as much anymore.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, I had that a bit because I had kids really young and I've always been like, all my friends are older than me where I live and whatever, and all the mums at the school. And then now I've made friends with this other mum who's younger than me and I'm like, hang on a minute, this is not how this works. I am the young mum. I'm the one that they all go, oh, you wouldn't know because you're not in your 40s. You're too young. I'm like, and now she's like 2 years younger than me. I'm like, no, this isn't, I'm not actually that young anymore. This is really unfair.
It is funny how much we think about age, because it is kind of totally irrelevant in a lot of cases, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like entering a new decade is really exciting.
How did you feel when you turned 30?
So good.
Really?
I felt like I was leaving a lot of skeletons just in, like, not in the closet, but just like behind me, and I felt like it was a fresh start. And I also felt like I was finally going to take myself seriously and not have imposter syndrome, because all through my 20s, I would get these really cool opportunities and I'd always just feel like, what am I doing here? I'm just a silly 20-something who knows nothing. And that's not really true. I feel like maybe I did know some stuff, but now I'm like, I'm 30, you can't tell me off. Like when I get trolled now, I'm like, excuse me, I'm 30.
That makes it just like not
I'm just a bit
it.
Like, I don't know, I feel a bit more in control and a bit more of a grown-up, I think.
What do you get trolled for?
No, I don't know, the odd passive-aggressive comment, you know, like before I would take it to heart, and now I'm like, don't mess with me, I'm 30.
Well, I think I need some of that. I think I have had that little bit. I kind of felt that pressure of everyone going, oh, 30s were like the best years of my life, and you just like, you know yourself so well at the age of 30 and you just like become who you are. And I was a bit like, ooh, like the week before my 30th, I was like, surely I would be feeling like a sense of that by now. Like, it's not just going to happen on the 14th of Jan. I'm going to go, I know who I am and this is who I am and the world have got to love me or hate me and I don't care. And that it has happened a bit more as time has gone on, which now even makes me feel older to say that to people, like, oh, yeah, when you're 30, you just know who you are. And
but,
I don't know.
I mean, maybe it will go downhill and I'm just having that like birthday excitement of
how long have you
age.
Been 30?
About 5 months.
Okay.
But I also have a theory that it's because I'm a bit more tired in general. And I know that I mean, disclaimer, I don't have any children, so I'm probably having more sleep than people listening right now. But I feel like in my 20s, I would go over and over and over and over things in my head, like to the point where I'd make myself really sick with like self-hatred. I'd be like, I'm terrible. I would just make myself, I'd beat myself up more. And now I feel like maybe because I'm busier, but I don't have time to spiral into that amount of hatred anymore or self-doubt.
And have you always been like that, or was that just in your 20s?
I don't know. I feel like I hope as I get older, it completely vanishes, because it's like, and it must be when you have even more added to the plate, do you have the time anymore to go and kind of wallow? Maybe not. I don't know. I used to really be good at it. I'd be like, I'm gonna sit here and like wallow about something for days and days and days, and now I'm just like, pick myself up a bit more, I think.
And was you like that when you were younger as a kid, or were you quite positive?
Oh my god, I was such a sensitive kid, like to the point where I think my family were quite, I mean, they weren't mean, but they would kind of wind me up and they'd know that it was like I was really sensitive, and I would have an opinion on everything, and I'd go upstairs and cry because someone didn't take me seriously, like that sort of, like the emotions were there. But maybe that's being a teenager or younger, I don't know.
Yeah, well, how many siblings have you got?
So I've got a brother and 3 sisters.
And are you the youngest?
I'm in the middle.
Oh.
I'm like the second oldest.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, like, maybe you felt like you weren't listened to and you had to, like, make the effort to...
I don't know. But I think it's funny because I was thinking back to when at school I was told off a lot for talking too much and, like, having too many opinions. And I think we have clues in our childhood of who we're going to be when we're older, which is really sweet. And I don't know if it's true that apparently our personalities do form by the time we're like 7 or 8 on a smaller scale. It's like that, you know, you are you. And I just find it funny that I was so told off for like talking too much. And now my job is to like do a podcast and write a column and have opinions and like be quite mouthy, you know, not like really controversial, but I do have opinions.
And you have never been afraid to voice them, clearly.
No. I get kind of riled up about things. I want to change things, and there's so much in the news to like make you want to be a part of the change. I mean, I'm not, definitely not someone that could like go into politics and like truly change things, but I just know that I want to add a little bit to the pile.
Yeah. This episode of Open Mind is brought to you in association with very.co.uk. At Very, you'll find an impressive range of beauty treatments by all your favourite brands, like hydrogel cream, lip repair balm and night serums by Elizabeth Arden, cleansing balms, exfoliators and gel masks by Elemis, and eye creams, detox kits and nourishing scrubs by L'Oreal. It's time to live well, sleep well, eat well and spend well at very.co.uk. And how have you always felt your mental health is? Have you kind of had a good mental health, or do you struggle?
It's funny. I kind of cast my mind back for this podcast because I knew we'd be talking about it. I don't think it's something that I think about too much because I kind of forget, you know, like I had like a really anxious childhood. Like I was so anxious. I'm an anxious person, but I'd never really labelled that or sat down and gone, yeah, you're a really anxious person. But I think the conversation around mental health that's happening now, which is incredible, like even like the Prince Harry interview that he did with the Telegraph about his mental health, like it's making us all feel like we can finally talk. So a part of me was like, I don't really want to bring up how I'm feeling because there's people that have it so much worse.
But then that's kind of the whole point. Is like, that's the whole point of the podcast and my book and everything. It's like, it doesn't matter what your situation is. Like, it's all relative. We all have mental health, and whether you've got this seemingly great life or not, we all have a brain. So we all have the chance to suffer from some sort of mental health at some point.
Totally.
And you shouldn't feel guilty about that.
Yeah. And reading a lot of books on it, like Matt Haig's book, when he talks about how you are the sky and the depression is the clouds and it moves and it changes and you're constant and the depression isn't. Like, even that stuff, I've never had depression, but I have friends that do, and I have friends that are going through some really tough times with it at the moment. So if I hadn't read all that, I think I would be a worse friend. I think I would say the wrong things. So from that respect, it's been great. But it's also made me realise that I have anxious behaviours that really flare up. And I now understand, like when you've got a tickle at the back of your throat and you know you're getting a cold, I can now know when I'm about to go down a very bizarre, anxious hole. And it's that stuff that is amazing to know about yourself.
Yeah. And do you know what your triggers are now?
That's like kind of classic overworking, feeling out of control. So I have real flight anxiety. Uh-huh. I went to see a hypnotherapist about it.
And did it work?
It's worked, but I feel like I need to go back to her and do another session. Because like with any therapy, you can't be like, thanks, bye, I'm fixed. But it's definitely helped. So it's feeling out of control is my issue. So if I'm in an environment where I feel like I can't get out, I get properly anxious.
Do you like rides?
No, I hate rides.
Yeah. I thought so.
Hate rides. Hate lifts.
Yeah. See, I've had all of those things. Like, always hated flying, hated rides, lifts. I've got better with all of them, but I still feel like it's that. I definitely think it comes down to a control thing, 100%. Because you're having to put your faith in not only other humans, but I'm also like computers. Because most of them are like, you know, they... that like on rides and lifts and airplanes, you know, if that breaks, then okay, so what's the backup?
Yes, exactly. And I guess that you, you know, put this down in amazing words in your book about what anxiety is, and it is like the fear of like the future, which might not ever happen.
Yeah.
And like when you realise, and your book seriously has been really helpful for me.
Thank
because
you.
It's given me like the language to understand what it is. Instead of just blurting it out, I'm like, oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and also like silly things like, and my boyfriend gets really annoyed with me when I have to know if we're going out exactly like what time we'll leave and how we'll get home.
How you'll get home? Why is that?
Because it's the same weird thing as the flying. Like, I need to know where, like, I need to know that we're not trapped there.
Right, okay.
Even though it's like a friend's party, which is so mean because I will have a great time. Yeah, it's like I just need to know, like, what's our plan for like when we go.
Really?
Yeah. Which is, again...
Not when you're going to go, though. Just how you're going to go.
Yeah, no. I now I don't need to know exact times. but it would be... It would just... I'd need to know just ahead of time. Same with, like, any holiday planning. Like, you know those people that, like, have a plastic folder with all their, like, documents in? When you look at them and you're like, you're such a square. Like, now I'm that person that I just need to know, like, what's going on.
Yeah, see, I find holidays quite... They make me quite anxious. It's that unknown thing, like, if I could go to the same place every time, I know it would be boring for some people, and I don't do that, but that would almost be better for me because I hate that anxiety. Like, I hate being the one that books a holiday because then I feel that pressure of what if we get there and, like, the hotel doesn't exist, or the hotel is there, but it's nothing like the pictures and it's awful and everyone has this really bad time. Like, it's that unknown and... not having that control over it, that it, for most people, holiday is like really exciting, but the build up to it for me is like horrendous.
Yeah. But it's a funny one because I used to be that girl that would like put a pair of pants in a tote bag and off you go.
Mm.
And I kind of miss that person. And I wonder if we get worse as we get older. I don't know. Like, why are really old people like such worriers?
Because I think you know too much. Like, from having children, I've realized, like, not in a funny way, but they don't know anything. They haven't seen the news. They don't know that there's terrorism. They don't know that there's these awful people in the world. They don't know about plane crashes or whatever. Like, they know the odd thing, but they don't know all that awful stuff. They haven't seen it or heard about it. So
yeah,
they're not going to think about it. Whereas as you get older, like, also I think when you're like in your 80s and 90s, you've probably lost half of your mates or whatever. Like, you know.
But I want to be an 80-year-old in like a faux fur coat smoking like a pack of cigarettes.
Well, you can be that.
Because I'm like, well, I don't smoke, but if I was 80 and I was like, what have I got left? I would, like, as in with like my family and friends, I'd be like, I'm just going to drink and smoke.
Well, no one is stopping you.
I'll see you there. Anyone that wants to join me.
Yeah, a little bit .com, 100%.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I'm always like, I want to be that really like angry, moany old person. You know, like, it's like you're allowed to say whatever you want. And they can be so offensive. Like, I've walked past my nan before, bless her. And she'd be like, oh, your ass has got big. And it's like, they're the only people that can get away with that. Because if you said that to me, I'd be like, are you joking me? Like, that's so mean. But when you're old, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it has none. Yeah.
I can't wait for that. Like, the old people rights. You literally could get away with anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why not? Because you've got that far and you've done all the things that all the other people are still, like, I reckon they sit back a bit and they're like, look at you, thinking all this stuff is important. Yeah. Wait till you're this age and...
Yeah. It's true, because we really care in the moment, don't we, about things? And
yeah,
you look back and you're like, that wasn't even a big deal.
But yeah, I don't know. But then that's another part of my fears. It's I'm like, I don't want to be old and look back and go, what was I doing worrying about everything all the time? I should have just enjoyed it. And
I mean, that's the whole existential thing, isn't it? And I know that you mentioned that this story that I'm talking about your book so much, but it's like in my head, you talk about this in there. And I was like, I'm not alone. Yay. Is like how... The thing that underpins all of this conversation is that we're all just scared of dying. And it's like,
it's so true.
And also this theory that I read about the other day, which is like, you know, FOMO, when you're like, oh, they're out and I'm not. Basically, the biggest FOMO of all is when you die. Because then you're really not here to experience it. So apparently, like, I think all of these things, I mean... I bet someone's listening now who's actually a therapist going, well done, Einstein. Yeah, obviously. we're all scared of that, and that's okay.
I am envious, though, of the people that that are religious and they believe in whatever they believe in, afterlife, heaven, whatever. And I'm always like, I wish I had that, because I think it would soften the blow a bit.
I agree. But this is why astrology is on the rise, especially in like millennials, is we're all obsessed with crystals and, well, and being general, obviously, some people that might not be, but the apps where you can like ask the universe and the stars to tell you what's happening. And I mean, I know I'm saying it in a slightly mocking voice, but I genuinely believe a lot of that stuff.
Do you? I've not got into that.
I've become quite spiritual in my old age. It's like we don't have necessarily like religion anymore. We don't really have community anymore. Mm. You're lucky if you live on a street and know your neighbours. That's amazing. But especially in a city like London, we're all pretty lonely people, kind of not really seeing the same person on the way to work and that sort of thing.
I do often think that about London, because sometimes, or like a big city, because sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish we lived more central, because my commute to and from work wouldn't be so long and I'd have more time at home with the kids. But I also think I would be really lonely, because everyone, I don't feel like anyone really knows anyone. Everyone's just getting on with their life.
Yeah, it's pretty solitary. But I, for example, where I live in East London, like I've really made a point of I go to the post office a lot and I like know them by name. I go and get the same coffee from the same lovely woman. Like, I feel you have to kind of make these small actions to make you feel like you're part of something. I actually interviewed someone recently about a book she wrote about being an introvert and like, you know, keeping yourself to yourself a lot. And she said that we are happier. Basically, if you talk to a stranger on the way to work, even if it's like, I like your shoes, your happiness levels will go up for that whole day.
Like, that's true, though.
It's so important to have, you know, I think we're in a culture of like, I don't need anyone. I'm a boss woman. making my way in the world. I'm an independent. And it's like, yes, I am behind some of that narrative, but I also think we need other people.
But also, not to put a massive Debbie Downer on that, but like, when you are on your deathbed, no one cares if you're like a big boss on your own. Like, you'll just be like, I want people around me. Like, who have I got?
Yes.
Like,
you're not going to be like, look at my LinkedIn.
Yeah. Yeah. Look how many followers I've got. I've got like millions. And yeah, I just sometimes that's my fear is like, yeah, I want to be all those things. But I do think you need a bit of light and shade, a bit of both. And
yeah, absolutely.
I think I when we went to America for a few months back in the Saturdays. And when we first got there, I really enjoyed that people say hello to you when you're walking down the street or when you're in an elevator and people start chatting and stuff like that. And I was like, this is so nice. Like, everyone's really friendly and you walk into a shop and they ask you if they want help. And then like the Brit in me took over after like a month and I was like, you can't be that happy and friendly all the time. Like, what is wrong with you? I'd get in a lift. I'd be like, I don't want to have a conversation with you. I don't know who you are. Just leave me alone. And I was like, I'm not really sure like which one is right or wrong. Like, I think you need a bit of both.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, when you're like maybe having a long taxi journey and you're just not in the mood to talk, maybe you're like thinking about something sad that just happened, or, you know, I think it's okay to not want to talk. But I had that in America recently. Someone came up to me. I had a map. I don't know why I had a paper map. It's very retro. But I had a map out. And this woman came up like behind me and I was literally like, oh, I'm going to be mugged. Mm. And she's like, can I help you? Are you lost? And I was like, why would you want to help me?
You're going to kill me.
Imagine being on Oxford Circus and someone going, can I help you? You lost. Never happen.
No. I think there's that thing as well of like being scared to offer things.
I live in a block of flats at the moment and no one talks to each other. You know, you just pass people and everyone's got their headphones in.
Yeah.
I think in the future that will, I have to move on from that. It's fine
for
now.
It's gonna die down though, because I always think this. Everyone always asks me like about my boys and if social media and phones and technology and stuff worries me about them, and it does at the minute. But I feel like we're the guinea pigs. Like, for us, it's this new big thing, but for like the generation after us, like the ones who know no different, they're kind of, it's not a big new thing to them. So they're like, well, this is life. This is how it is. So it's not this big scary thing. And I feel like they're all figuring it out. They're going to realize that you can't say mean things to each other because there are repercussions of that. And they are going to get fed up of just being on their phones all the time. And I feel like they're going to come out. It's a bit like binge drinking. Like, our era, that was kind of normal and whatever. And now everyone's a bit more health conscious and not as many people like the younger and smoking. And I just feel like people are becoming more aware.
I agree. And also it's like the same old every time. Like, the older generation thinks the younger generation is screwed.
Yeah.
And like, they work it out because they kind of have to. The only thing I do worry about if I from more of a sort of like the online legacy thing of like, you know, what people are doing is I think I had a MySpace page that I deleted, and I had a few other things that I deleted from when I was younger online that I didn't really want like floating around. The only thing I worry about is like, if you're 12 years old and you're just like posting loads of stuff on the internet, how hard is it going to be to like delete those,
remove that?
But I actually think they're more switched on than we are. Like, they're probably,
but that's what I'm saying.
And
I
also
feel
don't
like
they delete
learn.
Their posts? Like, it's a new thing,
really.
Like, younger kid, I sound so I like young people, the youth of today on Instagram, I think they don't have many pictures on their grid. They delete them as they go,
really.
And Snapchat, obviously things disappear. I think they're living in more of a kind of non-permanent state online. Like, my nephews all create Instagram accounts and then delete them, and it's all very much like they're kind of experimenting. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like creating an online profile, like, for example, having a Google page, you know, your Google search, like if you search your own name on Google, that actually is really important in life, I think, not to have anything weird on there.
Yeah.
And so I feel like we should be teaching young people just like, by the way, your online presence kind of is slightly important because it's like a representation of who you are. So just make sure, you know, you're careful in what you post. Mm.
And do you think that will like improve? Because I feel like mental health, I can't always tell whether more people suffer with mental health issues because of what is expected of everyone and because of everyone's online presence and stuff, or if it's just that more people are talking about it, so we know more about it. So it seems like loads of people have it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I totally know what you mean. Because I don't know, obviously, but sometimes I think, actually, people have always had this, like, always. And for so long, they've had to suffer in silence. And, you know, people have had bipolar for centuries. You know, it's yeah. like a human, very human thing. And just for so long, it just wasn't spoken about.
Hmm.
Like many things that we are, you know, people have had to suppress all sorts of things, like their sexual orientation or their religion, or like for so long people just were so scared. And we're you know, we're in a good time when it comes to that. I think that we can be who we want to be. Well, not all over the world yet, unfortunately, but in the Western world.
What would your advice be then to maybe the younger generation or our own generation of like having a healthy kind of like work life and social media life balance?
I think if your social media enhances your real life, and it is all real life, I don't want to say that one isn't and one, you know, it, like you say, it all has ramifications in the real world, but I mean like offline. So for example, say you do have like followers or whatever, you know, does that lead you to meet more people offline, or do you enjoy your life with the opportunities it brings you? It's almost like just make sure you're living and don't spend too much time on there. But I do think it's amazing for like the connections that I made. I've made so many friends, but it's all enhanced my life, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
I don't know. I feel like so lucky that I grew up without it.
Yeah, me too.
But it's like, it's almost like that question of some people ask me sometimes, they're like, you know, what should I do now if I want to be a writer? And I'm like, well, I kind of don't know what to say, because I was in that blogging generation of like 2008, 2009, where like that was a thing. But it would be very weird for me to go start a blog.
Yeah.
So you kind of can only use what you know and just sort of like follow along, really.
I suppose it's a bit like me as a singer. It's like when I started out, it was completely different to now. So I actually wouldn't know now what the right route is. Like, do people still get noticed on YouTube? I don't know. Or do you have to go on X Factor? I have no idea.
Exactly.
I guess we're all just figuring it out as we go along.
We really are. And I think what's brilliant is creating the space like you have with this podcast, just for conversation, because it's like so ongoing, isn't it? And we're always learning, and actually just something someone can say one day could spark something and inspire and encourage. So I just think we just keep on being honest and open. That's good.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for coming on. I'm so happy I've had you on. It's been really nice. You're kind of like an older, wise soul than your age. It's nice.
Oh, thank you. That's a really lovely thing to say. I do dress granny chic as well.
Oh, we've come matching today.
Oh, yeah, we have.
Black and white stripes. So if you're granny, I'm a granny.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. This episode of Open Mind the podcast was sponsored by very.co.uk.